everyone. This is Karen Herring from the Stutter Chuck B team here with Joel Cordy. Hey, Joel.
Hi, Karen.
It's actually just us today because Roisin is off at work right now. But if you'd like to get in touch with Stutter Talk, you can write to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. Or if you want to get in touch with the B-Team, myself, Joel, or Roisin, you can write to bteam@stuttertalk.com. And we love to hear what you guys have to say and what you think and suggestions for shows. You have one more announcement, Joel, before we get started?
Yeah, I just have a quick announcement here before we get started. I have some exciting news to report. I am starting an NSA Twist chapter.
So cool.
Actually, I am not starting it. Well, three of us are starting it.
That's still great.
Yeah. It's Linda Hendershite, Aaron Bodner, and myself. It was Linda's idea.
What is a twist chapter?
Okay, well, a twist chapter is kind of like in a normal NSA support group, but it's focused more on teenagers who stutter. As far as I know, that's pretty much the primary difference between a twist chapter and then, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill NSA chapter.
Right.
That's
really cool, though.
Yeah.
Like a chance for them all while they're going through high school and junior high and whatnot to, like, have other people that are going through the same thing.
Exactly. So, just wanted to say, if there's any chance that you live in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, and you're listening to this, or really anywhere around Minneapolis, and you're a teen, you really should come to this Twist chapter, because we have a really great group of people that have been getting together, and they're seriously amazing. I'm just surprised by how interesting and mature and cool all these kids are, and the way that they talk about stuttering at such a young age, and we have a really good time, and our next meeting is on March 4th, which is a Sunday. So if you're interested, again, if you're a teen, you live around Minneapolis, you can contact Linda Hendershite or myself. I'm going to put her contact information up on the page, but it's HINDE001@umn.edu. That phone number is 612-624-8590. Or you can always just contact myself. And I'm really excited about it because
that's so cool.
I think we got a great group, and it's just a lot of fun.
How long has the group been going on for?
Well, we've had two meetings, I guess at that point we decided to go ahead and go through the process of making it an official NSA Twist chapter.
Mm-hmm. And, like, since you're not a teen, like, what is your role in this?
Well,
like, do you, yeah.
It's kind of funny because I was actually just talking about this with Belinda, how I'm kind of afraid that I'm, like, becoming one of the adults in the room.
Which you are, Joel.
Yeah, I know. I'm, like, about to turn 28 this month. And But actually, I don't do much. The group of people that we have just kind of run it themselves, really. So,
well, that's neat.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, I'll throw in a story or an anecdote or whatever. But I mean, these kids are really cool. So,
we should also say for those people who love this idea of a twist chapter, but don't live near Joel, there's also more twist chapters across the United States.
That's a great point.
That, if you know someone that would be interested in getting involved in that, like if they're a teen and, they stutter and they think maybe they could talk to someone else going through the same kind of stuff. You can get a whole list of all the twist chapters at the NSA website, which is westhutter.org.
Mm-hmm. And even I think it's a great experience for teens, obviously, to go to regular NSA chapter meetings as well.
There is definitely stuff that goes on there that probably relate to them, like job talks or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just, I think it's just a little bit less. Pressure when it's you're around other teenagers.
Yeah.
And you just can relate a little bit better because everybody knows that those teenage years are interesting years. I mean, a lot of challenges come up socially and otherwise that aren't necessarily present at other times in people's lives. When there are the different challenges, of course. I'm excited about that, and obviously encourage anyone who that might relate to check it out.
Yeah, very cool. While you have the floor, you have a lot of other stuff besides the twist group going on in your life, Joel. You just were at that that conference, right?
Oh, yeah. I was. I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to talk about it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I last show I mentioned that I was going to this trade show for my work, and more specifically, it's called the NAMM show, and it's an abbreviation for, I believe it's National Association of Music Merchants.
Cool.
It's got NAMM, you know, sounds crazy or something. And this was my first year going. It's out in Anaheim, and it's just huge. It's just massive. There's people everywhere. The convention hall is just huge. I think that's the second time I've said that. I'm not sure I really knew what I was getting myself into. But I went out there, and overall, I think it was great. It was challenging for me, and at the end of the thing, I think I definitely felt like it was a little bit more of a challenge than I realized. Just kind of taking you through the whole thing, Karen. The first official day of the show, Okay, I got to kind of like set up the scenario.
All right.
Okay, so these are music merchants, so there's just noise everywhere. Like, we're a guitar effects pedal company, so we're making a lot of noise. You know, we have a guy demoing our effects pedals a lot of the time, so we got this really big amp that's, you know, relatively loud, and we're making a lot of noise, but we're definitely not the only people making noise. There's lots of other people playing guitars and different amps, and
this just sounds like fun. You have such a cool job, Joel.
I do think that I have a cool job, and I love my job. But I start to think sometimes that whenever you perceive someone to have a cool job, mm-hmm. and you're just like, wow, that must be amazing. The person who has the job doesn't think it's quite as cool as the other people. You know what I mean?
Well, they probably know a little bit more about the job and all the things that aren't so fun about the job.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like nothing's ever perfect. Like I'm sure you hear that about your job all the time, and I'm sure that your job's really hard, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not perfect, but mm-hmm. I have a pretty great job.
You're just going to totally ruin my argument. Like, no, actually,
job.
Actually, my job is perfect, Joel.
It's the best.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do.
All right. Well, okay, so there's just these loud noises coming everywhere. Let me ask you, Karen, in loud environments, do you find it easier or more difficult to manage your stuttering?
Because it could go either way. Like, when I really can't hear myself talk, I don't stutter.
Okay.
So in that sense, it probably would be, I wouldn't be managing my stuttering, but I would probably just be like spontaneously full fluent.
Sure. It's like that scene in The King's Speech where he's got the headphones on, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess it probably would also get to a point where I was just trying to scream and it would have just been a mess. Like all of my communication would have just kind of broken down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they do have a rule at the NAMM show that every once in a while you'll see official for the convention walking around with a decibel meter.
And, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, it needs to be 85 decibels or under.
Which is loud.
It's supposed to be. You know, I'm sure sometimes it's not. But, I mean, because there's the other thing is there's drums everywhere.
Oh,
people are playing
God.
Drums everywhere. But
this whole, like, trade show sounds crazy.
It is. It's absolutely nuts. Well, you've been to the ASHA convention, which stands for American Speech Hearing Association, which is for speech language pathologists. So you've been there.
Yeah, but like all the booths there are like giving out pens.
Yeah.
It's not like each booth is throwing a rock concert.
Yeah. Well, then it's funny too, because at something like ASHA, you know, a lot of the people that are walking around are speech pathologists, and you know, they're a certain type of person in general. I mean, everybody's different, but then you think of musicians and people, who are in that line of work, and it's just, you know, totally different cross section of people.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting in that
All
regard.
Right. I took you way off track.
I'm sorry. It was my own fault. Okay. So yeah. Well, I mean, no, that's good, because it's part of the scenario there.
All right.
Basically, I could have summed that all up by just saying it's loud there. And, okay, wow, when people first started coming up and asking me about things and asking about our new products, and I'd kind of been practicing, I kind of had the spiel down, but the first, couple hours, I was really struggling, and by really struggling, I mean getting into blocks where it was uncomfortably long, like point where like, you know, person's looking at me and you know, it's kind of like, okay, what's going on? And then looking away and then, you know, something is amiss here. And so that kind of affected me negatively. And I was like, okay, like what's going on here? What do I need to do? So then I started to, think about, I think one of the issues I was having is that I needed to reveal my stuttering sooner. Mm-hmm. So then I started to make sure that I stuttered right away, and that helped a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was able to manage the blocks that were longer in duration and kind of break them up and stutter with a lot of frequency, but stutter productively.
Wait, so you, like, even when you decided you wanted to let them know that you stuttered, you didn't actually say that you stuttered, right? Is that...
You know...
Or you did?
No, not usually.
Okay, so, like, what made them all of a sudden know that you stuttered versus just, like, why isn't this guy talking?
Because as soon as I started talking, I would put in some noticeable classic stutters.
Oh, like a repetition?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I think most people, like the stuttering that you just demonstrated, I think most people know what's that is.
Yeah.
Right away. So then I was kind of, then I've had kind of established that, the fact that I speak differently.
Yeah.
So anyway, and actually, so the first day went okay. You know, I kind of, you know, had that early trouble, and then as the day got going, I kind of felt more comfortable and was using those voluntary stuttering strategies. The second day was amazing. Like, I really was, I'm not really sure exactly how it happened, which is kind of a shame, but I really had some good strategies laid out. I was using prolongations pretty well, I think, and was obviously still stuttering with a lot of frequency, but my stuttering the second day was especially productive, and maybe just overall that day I was just maybe stuttering a little bit less. It was just happening less, so that just made everything easier because I didn't need to think about managing it so well or so often.
I wonder if it was happening less because you were managing it, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the age old question, right?
Yeah. I think it's, I love how you talk about this. Like, I love how your day was amazing. And I really, like, I was getting a little bit scared that you're going to be like, my day was great because I didn't just stutter once.
Oh, no.
And you were just like, my day was great because I came in with a plan and I managed my speech.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on.
Cool, Joel.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think I do a pretty good job of, I mean, I really, really don't equate success with fluency at this point. Oh. No, I wish I could report the next 2 days went the same, but I think maybe that day. I mean, I'm just trying to reflect and figure out exactly why things happen. But then the next 2 days, I wasn't as successful. Looking back, and I want to make sure I paint an accurate picture. If you were to ask the coworkers I was with, how did Joel do at the trade show? They would all say I did a really great job. So it's not like, you know, it was not successful for me in that sense. As a whole, it was great. Mm-hmm. It's just as like, you know, a perfectionist and not doing these types of things very often, I really was kind of analytical about it, you know?
Yeah.
Let me just ask you, based on the situation I've been describing and the fact that most of the interactions that you have with people are going to be a few minutes long. Mm-hmm. And it's loud. How would you go about it? How would you try to do this thing?
To let them know that I just hutter, or just to get out the information, or?
Yeah. Well, okay. So yeah, you're at this, I guess I'm just asking you to put yourself in my position and how you would go about doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like where I am now, like for a long time, I would advertise my stuttering because it helped me. Like it made me feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
At this point, like I can advertise, I cannot advertise. It sort of does less for me just because I don't know. Like I feel pretty comfortable without advertising.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Yeah.
So I think I would probably just like start and give whatever information I had, talking however it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone didn't understand, or if someone looked like, what the heck is going on here, or if they actually said something in regards to my speech, then I think I would say something like, oh yeah, I utter. So if there's anything I said that you didn't quite get, like feel free to ask.
Mm-hmm. I think in that sense, I think we're very similar, where the actual process of actually saying I am a person who stutters, there's less payoff for me at this point. I certainly still do it sometimes, but it's always helpful to some degree, I think, but it's not, I don't feel like I have to do it. And I think we kind of talked about this a couple of shows ago, or maybe it was last show when we talked about advertising.
Yeah.
But I think that when I hear you talk about it, I'm like, yes, that's like, I feel like I'm in a similar place. My issue right now is that for example, you said that you would just start talking and however it came out, it would come out. So that's right. That's what I do a lot of the time. A lot of the time I'm not thinking about how I'm speaking. Like right now, for the most part.
Right.
Every once in a while I'll think about doing something, like, but I'm really just, you know, trying to talk. The issue comes when I find myself in a significant block where, you know, it's not an easy repetition. The word is not coming out. And at that point, it's holding things up. And it's like I'm looking for ways to get to move forward. And I'm finding it's a lot easier if I have some plan in place where there's some kind of preemptive strike where it's like, okay, I'm gonna try to use some voluntary stuttering with some prolongations. That strategy seems to work pretty well for me. But
so like the preemptive strike is a lot easier for you to like use than once you're in the block doing like a pull out.
Yeah, I've always kind of had an issue with the whole idea of a pull out because it just doesn't seem to. And I don't know if you've ever talked about this on Stutter Talk, but we've talked about it in person where it's where, you know, if you're in the middle of a block, it's not as simple as, well, I'm going to do a pull out.
Yeah. I mean, it's for sure. I would agree that I think once you're in the block and all of that tension's already there, it's certainly harder to do anything with your speech than if you're doing it before there's any tension.
Exactly. You just said it. Exactly.
I think there is, something kind of important to learn just like about your own speech, like figuring out where the tension is and how you can manipulate that. So you don't ever feel so lost in that block.
Yeah. And I think that is something I'm starting to figure out some more about. And one of the conclusions I think I've come to is that there has been more of an emotionally reactive component than I realized. And I'll give you an example. Like, let's say I'm stuttering on a word with a vowel onset. So, let's just say I want to say the sentence, over here we have a new prototype, and I'm stuttering on the O on over. So it's it sounds like kind of like that. If I'm talking to you, or if it's just a different situation, a different context, I'm able to get. If I run into that O real hard, like over, I can kind of do something like that where it just kind of figure out that there's a lot of tension, really at the level of my vocal folds that feels like in the back of my throat, like the vocal folds are just clamping shut and just try to go into that vowel more gently and really specifically think about that area of tension. And when I'm, when I'm talking to you and I know that, you don't care if I stutter pretty much. There's a lot of people like that in my life right now, but strangers at a trade show aren't one of them,
Right. And, for sure.
And, so I was realizing, I was like, okay, so, and this is no epiphany. I mean, this is everybody that stutters experiences this, but yeah, it's tougher to manage blocks and manage stuttering in front of strangers that you're only going to talk to for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But that was one of the that was one of the conclusions, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's why it was harder.
My mama gave me 20 to stay out till dawn when the boyfriend was over and they wanted me gone.
Which is kind of an important thing for you to know.
Yeah.
Like for you, when you're in sort of a tougher situation, like you want to be pre preemptive with this stuff, because once you're in the block, it's really hard to get out of.
Yeah, so maybe it's more about if I can recognize, hey, here's a situation that's tougher for me right now. What can I do about it? And then in other situations, you know, I probably can take a little bit of a break and not expend so much mental effort. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, because like, what happens if you're at the trade show and you want to be concentrating on what you're going to say about these pedals, and you don't want to be thinking about your speech before you even start to talk.
Yeah.
Like, is it the end of the world if you just block?
No, and that's the thing, is I want to keep it, I don't want myself to forget that all in all, I was successful, I stuttered a lot, I stuttered significantly, but at the end of the day, I did do a good job. It's just that I want it to be easier next time, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it easier.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I agree. Like, I have to remember that really, I should give myself a pat on the back.
You really should.
Yeah.
I'm even impressed, like, at this big work event, how much not only was stuttering on your mind, but stuttering in a productive way was on your mind.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have been so worked up about having to talk about the product and having to answer questions and whatnot, that like, I'm really impressed that you, I mean, were really consciously thinking about how you can manage your speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. I think it was helpful that I know the products so well, especially the new ones that I designed, that I don't really have to worry about knowing the information, you know, because it's just there. I do appreciate that. After the thing was over, and I was reflecting, I mean, I was kind of glad it was over, because it was taxing, you know, and it was exhausting to try to talk in those contexts for 8 hours or whatever it was. And then now that I've had a little bit more space between it, I do feel like it's a little bit unfortunate in my life that I don't have more of these opportunities more often, because I feel like if I had to do this like once a month, it would be the best thing for my speech. But now the fact that I just crawl into this office and go back to, you know, the status quo, it's like a great way to make progress, or whatever you want to call it, to make strides to where you want it to be in your speech, is to throw yourself in really trying and challenging situations.
Which, even if it's not related to work, I mean, if you wanted to practice managing your speech with people that didn't understand stuttering, that's something you could do, I mean, every day, by making phone calls or going into stores, or I don't know. But
I wish I wasn't so lazy, though. Or it's not even maybe lazy. It's just like I have so much stuff going on in my life. I don't want to. I'm making excuses. I'm being a difficult stutterer right now.
And I mean, it's also just not the most fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, which isn't like anyone's first choice of activities after a long day of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a, you said this a long time ago, but it got me thinking when you were saying that, like, doing like the stereotypical type of stuttering like the repetitions, and that usually people just know like that's stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
I was out to eat with two friends, and it was kind of a weird situation for some reason. Like, we were having a conversation with the waitress, and she ended up asking for our names.
Mm-hmm.
And so I introduced myself as I'm Karen. And she, like, then after we all introduced ourselves, she repeated back our names to make sure that she got them.
Okay.
And she repeated back my name as Karen.
Okay.
And she didn't say it in a way. I mean, it's very possible she was trying to make, like, a joke. Or, I don't know. But it almost seemed like she legitimately thought that that was my name.
Oh, wow.
Like, my name was Karen. Like, do you ever think that someone, like, can think that... I don't know that, like, it's not, like, I don't know if her first response was, oh, this girl stutters.
Yeah.
But instead it was like, that's just the word that she's saying.
Well, I could see that, though, just knowing you and knowing the relaxed way in which you stutter, where your stuttering's not really associated with struggle.
Well, thanks. Well, I try very, very hard.
I'm just observing that. I mean, I could see you saying that, and you know, the person just thinking that that's what you wanted to say.
I just thought that was so like interesting. Like, she kind of mocked me, but I don't think she meant to. It was just so odd.
There was no hint of sarcasm or
I don't think so.
Smile, like, or anything.
Like, because she didn't just repeat my name; she repeated everyone's name. You know, to like make sure that she could remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she said it exactly like I did.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was so weird.
Oh man.
I don't know, but it just, I thought about it when you were saying that, because it, like, I usually voluntarily stutter on my name, sort of in the same thought process that you had. Like, it's a great way to sort of let them know right off the bat that I stutter.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to work in this case.
Well, I think, I mean, I guess it depends on what your definition of success, or if it worked. I mean, she pretty much got your name right. Actually, no, she didn't. She didn't.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard a story like that. So that's another one I can just put in, you know, those crazy stuttering stories we all have.
Yeah.
Someone
put
thought,
in the
some,
books.
Someone thought Karen's name was Ka-Ka Karen.
<That's> amazing. <Yeah. laughs> So we're already running low on time. Work, mm-hmm. But there's something else huge that I'm dying to hear about, Joel.
Oh, yes. All right. How much time do I have?
I don't know. Talk fast and
don't stutter.
Don't stutter.
So I just wanted to announce that Kelly and I got engaged a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So exciting.
Kelly was on the show a few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago or so, talking about what it's like to date a stutter. And,
We're gonna have to have her on again. What's it like being engaged to a stutterer?
This is probably like pretty much the same. she flew out to California after that trade show was over, and then we spent a few days together, and I proposed to her out in Joshua Tree National Park. It was really nice and
so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and and really feels good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's not really any crazy stuttering questions to even ask since Kelly's so cool about the whole thing.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, though? She made an observation the other day, actually, when we were on our trip. I actually thought was really cool. So after the trade show, I admit I was a little more – I was just in a little bit of a funk. Just not a huge funk, but a little bit of a funk from just struggling a little bit at the trade show, especially the last 2 days. And I think I was maybe slipping into a few old habits and maybe even relying on Kelly a little bit more to do a little speaking. I'm out of the funk now. I'm completely out of the funk. But she mentioned that. She's like, I noticed that a lot of times on this trip, you're starting out your sentences with the word so.
And
you remember this? Or I try not to do it as much, but I used to do it all the time where anytime I was going to say something, I'd be like, so is, you know, just to like, I think it was just to kind of proclaim, hey, I'm speaking right now. And also because for whatever reason, I felt I could get that word out in a, you know, certain amount of time that would.
I love that she's like picking up on your like secondary thing.
I know my avoidance behaviors. Oh yeah. It was kind of like when she said it like kind of for like a second, it kind of got like in my head, I wanted to be defensive, but then once I actually had a couple of more seconds to think about it, I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. But no, I can see the defensive view too.
Yeah. Cause it's like, there's always that part of you that's just like, don't worry about how I'm talking.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
How neat.
Yeah.
Wow. She's pretty observant about your speech.
I think she is. I think she's pretty observant about a lot of stuff. That's one of the things I really love about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Do you think she picked up on the fact that she was having to talk more for you?
Well, I think it was more if we were like walking up to something, I would just kind of like maybe be walking behind her a little bit. I don't even know if I was really was consciously making decisions I always think that whenever I talk about stuff like this, I'm overstating a little bit. So it, even though she is observant, she might not have known, or maybe she did. I should ask her. I just feel like I was not my normal, totally unabashed, unashamed of stuttering self for a day or two.
Yeah.
Probably 2 days. But I, you know, everybody gets into a little funk sometimes.
Yeah. You have so much exciting stuff going on, Joel.
Well, it's like I've always got something to talk about relating to stuttering, you know.
Do you think you guys are going to stay engaged for a while, or are you going to start to plan the wedding?
I think what we've been talking about is probably a year from August, so it will be for a while. So
how exciting.
Are you going to fly out to Minnesota for the wedding, Karen?
Yes.
Have you ever been to Minnesota?
No, I'm excited.
Good. Hopefully I can get a lot of you crazy kids out there.
I like really can't wait for your vows, and I really hope you stutter through.
Well, I think that's a certainty.
Cannot wait.
Way to put the pressure on, Karen.
I really hope that you stutter a lot, Joel.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, I'm just looking at the time again. You probably need
to go.
All right, well.
This was fun, Joel.
Yeah, it was fun, and thanks for allowing me to vent a little bit.
Yeah, everything you said was great.
Well, thank you.
All right, for those who are still listening, in case you want to contact Stutter Talk, it's stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And if you'd like to write to the B-Team, it's bteam@stuttertalk.com. I guess I'll talk to you soon, Joel.
Sounds good, Karen. Have a great day at work.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Bye.